We thank the Lord. We have another opportunity to gather before the Lord. If, brothers and sisters, it is convenient, please do turn on your video so that we may see you. In this way, it's more like a meeting. Just like before, as we begin, let's have a time of prayer. I really feel that we need to have urgent prayers. As brothers and sisters attend this meeting, if the Spirit of the Lord moves you, I do hope that you can open up your mouth. Give us a short prayer. I hope that there will be more brothers and sisters can lead us in a word of prayer. We give the following time now to everyone. Let's begin with some prayer. Lord, we thank you as we close our eyes and enter into the depths of our spirit. We come into your presence through this pursuit. Lord, do gain all the young brothers and sisters among us, that the testimony of the Lord and your will in this generation may continue to move forward. Hear my prayer. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Lord, for this little bit of time, we thank and praise you. Lord, at this time, do quiet down our hearts, even more so cleanse our spirit, so that beneath the cleansing of your precious blood that we would come into your presence, that we would truly meet you face to face. It's not that we meet you, but we do ask that you yourself will come and meet us, so that we may come to truly know your will and come to know that in this end time, your work in the church. We place the following time into your hands. Lord, may you use and may you sanctify this unto yourself. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord, you are the one who gives provision at the right time. And so in this time, as the saints wait before you, Lord, do speak to your people through our experiences, in your word, and through our pursuit and waiting before you. Lord, we pray that you would speak and pour out your word from the heavens. Do once again cleanse this gathering beneath your blood. May all the heavenly hosts also wait before you. And may we all be fully equipped with your full armor. We look to you for unlimited spirit. Be filled among us so that we would not only have the outward speaking of the words, but may your spirit within the depths of our hearts speak those acceptable words and those words of revelation, the words of rebuke, so that we may be built up and to do that work which man cannot do. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, during this time of great darkness, how we need your word to shine its light, shine into the depths of our heart and upon the path that we walk on. Lord, as we gather in your presence, may your spirit cover this gathering. Do speak to our hearts. Gain more of us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank and praise you. Thank you that once again, through your love, that our brothers and sisters, we may gather in your presence. Do cleanse our entire being. We do give you the following time so that in this wicked and perverse generation, May we not walk on the wrong way away from your will. But hallelujah, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Thank you that once again we may gather in your presence. May you separate this time as unto holy for yourself. As we gather in your presence, as you speak to our hearts, may you give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Open up the eyes of our hearts that we may truly be encouraged and strengthened to run quickly after you. We do reverently place the following time in your hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Lord, we do thank you with all our hearts. It is your grace that gives us another opportunity to gather in your presence from our depths. How we desire to be gained more and more by you. Lord, we do sense that time passes so quickly. But in spiritual growth, Lord, our growth is so slow. And so, Lord, do hold on to our days here on earth so that every day we may gain that which you want us to gain, so that you may gain that which you desire to gain from us. Up to today, what you have gained in us is still so small, so little. And so, Lord, may we treasure the time that you have given to us because your return is so near. From within us, we have this very deep desire that every day in your presence would be a day that you work in us. Lord, how we desire to be set free from ourselves and that the Lord would increase in us. Dear Lord Jesus, for this amount of time, we place it into your gracious hands. May all that we say and do in every single matter, may it be the Holy Spirit that works. With your words, grab a hold of our hearts, teach our hearts, enter into our experience. Lord, we know that you have redeemed us back to you, not only from the enemy and from the world to be separated from it, but you want to gain us as a person from inside out. You want to gain us. So we're willing to place ourselves into your gracious hand. For in this amount of time, give us an open heaven so that from our spirit, we would have open fellowship with our Lord. We give you all the thanksgiving and praise to you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, now, still according to how we have done in the past, in terms of our order, at the beginning, I'm going to open up for all brothers and sisters to have some fellowship regarding some experiences you have had in following the anointing last time. Many brothers and sisters shared such wonderful sharings. I'm not saying that you spoke well, but your experience was very precious. And so now for brothers and sisters beginning to have such experiences, my heart really rejoices. I say over and over, for the church on earth today, this is a lost truth, as well as a neglected, important experience among the children of God. We have neglected that which is most important. Every day we are doing a lot of these outward activities. No wonder our spiritual life does not grow. No wonder the condition of the church also does not have much change. So this is a very important matter. Many Christians today desire for a great revival, just like before, where there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and great revival. But after all these many years, the Lord hasn't really done that. And even during the pandemic, it seemed as if our days were very bland. Every day we gather online to such a point where we feel that our spiritual lives are very shallow and bland. This is a crisis. So we look to His mercy, that during the most plain days, that we would follow the anointing. Then your days would be full, and our spiritual experience would also not stop. So I hope from the various locations that we would place this in a very important position, that we would mutually encourage one another. And forgive me, I forgot that at the very beginning we need to memorize scripture first. So let's memorize the Bible first, because the brothers and sisters in Minneapolis have already prepared. So let's memorize first. Today we are memorizing Ephesians chapter 5. Let's open up our Bibles if you need to look at it. So go ahead and look at it. If you have memorized it, do try your best. And so now we're going to give the time to Brother Andrew in Minneapolis. Go ahead. Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But when all things become visible, when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Thank the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you've memorized so clearly. Forgive me, at the very beginning, in my mind, everything I was thinking about was following the teaching of the anointing. I had almost forgotten that we need to memorize the Bible. But I do hope, brothers and sisters, not only will you memorize and meditate on it and pay attention, obey his words, emphasize his words, because in these dark days, this is our way of salvation. The Lord will protect us and not be influenced by this world and not be impacted by our environment and circumstances. His words are so important. So in the following time, we do ask, brothers and sisters, to have some testimonies in your experience of following the anointing. If you have had such experiences, please bring it out to share with everyone. It doesn't need to be long, between 3 to 5 minutes, just one point, one incident is fine. We do hope that more brothers and sisters would have fellowship, because in this, this will bring some encouragement. We do hope, brothers and sisters, that everyone would come to understand that this is true. Just as what John says, that the anointing is true. This is not false. He is true. We need to live out this true condition. Our testimony is very important. Today, what the Lord has done is for all the saints. So do not hold back. Now, for those who have already spoken in the past, if you still have some good experiences, please also share with us. And so for the following time, we do want to open it up to everyone. Is there anyone who's willing to go first? Yes, perhaps I will start. This is Brother Jian in Seattle. Forgive me, because of allergies, my voice might sound strange. Last year, this is Brother Wang Jian in Seattle. Last year, during the summer, oftentimes in my heart, let me first share about, in naturally speaking, I'm more of an introvert. I don't really speak to strangers. If I speak to strangers, I'm a bit nervous. However, the Lord's command is that we need to love others as ourselves and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Very direct is our neighbors. Oftentimes I think about how am I to love my neighbors, the people around me. Last summer, because the weather was very good, my wife had planted some squash and they grew well. Next to us, there's an elderly couple. They're very nice. And so we thought that perhaps we would give them some of what we had grown. But the one who lives directly in front of us, they are more difficult to get along with. So at first I thought I need to give to them. But then the Holy Spirit reminded me This is an opportunity to love your neighbors. And so, this experience was very interesting. The elderly couple, they were not home. So I thought, okay, then perhaps I'll test out that I'll give it to the neighbors who are directly in front of us that are difficult to get along with. When I went, at first I had a lot of unease in my heart. And at that time I heard that they were watering their lawn or their yard. And generally we don't see them, but because they have a lot of plants, trees in their front yard, I don't normally see them. But then I heard that they were watering, and so I thought, okay, I'll go give it to them. And he gladly received it. And so I thought, oh, this is a very small matter. But the Lord gave me this opportunity that I may learn how to love my neighbor. And this is it. Thank the Lord. Brothers and sisters, hello. I am a sister in Minneapolis. I also want to share the small thing that happened in my daily life recently, because some things happened in my family. So I had a burden to share the gospel with my family. And so when I was by myself, I wanted to mention this to them. So one day, this burden constantly was in my heart that I wanted to be by myself and then share the gospel with them. That day I had, there was this pool of water. I didn't really put this into prayer. So just as I normally do, I was cleaning out the trash in my fish tank. And then I didn't want water to drip everywhere, so I squeezed some of the water in the trash, and all the, there was something, a sound inside of me that says, don't squeeze all the trash for the water to drip out. But then I tested it out and I squeezed just gently, and I realized there was a fish bone that poked straight into my palm. And I opened up my hand, and that trash, it was a bone that stuck straight into my, and it was set inside the trash. And with impulse, if I had really squeezed hard, that fishbone would have pierced my hand. But I really thank the Lord that when I was praying to him, he also watched over my safety. So I thank the Lord. I wanted to share this. Brothers and sisters, peace to you. I am a sister named Wenjing. I want to share something that happened on January 1st. On January 1st, I was at New York Christian Fellowship online, and I was praying with the saints. There was a saint and his co-worker had heart surgery. And I had separated from my husband, but on that day they found out that he got sick. And then on the 4th, I also got sick. And I felt that I had been wronged because I had been working at home from 2020. I haven't gone out. I said, Lord, how could this be? But there is a voice within me that says, you need to give thanks because your symptoms are very light. You just have a dry, hoarse throat. You have no other symptoms. And I thought, yes, indeed, this is right. It's true. I need to thank the Lord. At that time, I also attended 2 Bible studies. We were studying James and I think also Ephesians. And at night, my voice would be, my throat was very hoarse and uncomfortable. So I asked, I have contracted the virus. Can I now not memorize scripture? But then the voice inside of me said, your throat is hoarse, but there's no problem with your mind. You can't do that. And so I said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Yes, I know I am weak, but Lord, help me. So I constantly have not stopped, and I have memorized the book of James, and as well as we're chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Ephesians, and I'm also memorizing the book of Psalms. I really thank the Lord. The Lord has also in these last 2 years, so many of my coworkers have died because of this virus. And so I see that their symptoms and my symptoms, even though I really thank the Lord, even though we are very weak, but in this end days, even more so, we need to fully trust in the Lord to allow His words to become the light unto our path, the lamp unto our feet. It is so important. Memorizing scripture is so good. This is a bit of my sharing. Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm also Brother Henry in Newark. I also want to share a little of the Holy Spirit working in me. I am in marketing, in sales. Oftentimes, I need to drive. In the past, I did not study God's Word very well. And the company didn't really... They also needed to know my mileage for my work, for my travel. And so a lot of people, you have to write down a lot of your mileage because that is how you earn your extra income. And so then you would be reimbursed based on your mileage. But after I came to really pray before the Lord and read the Bible, I felt that I can't just put down these random numbers. And so on the GPS, how much mileage was recorded on that, that is what I write down. Of course, yes, then I would also lose out on some money. But the Holy Spirit moved in me. And particularly today in Ephesians, as I read, that those who are greedy are like those who are idolaters, covetous. So I really thank the Lord. So that before Him, we would be those who are blameless before Him. Then He can work in us and we can co-work with Him. And of course, I will lose out on some monetary gain, but every time I go out, in my heart, I may have some worry, but I thank the Lord because the Holy Spirit reminds me to not be a covetous man. These are small things. But of course, in this work, I do also face many challenges and temptations. They're all small temptations. As I sell things to restaurants and markets, a lot of things people don't need. They're miscellaneous. We're supposed to just give to our clients. Some things are just samples. But if you bring it home and you eat it yourself, it's fine. And of course, the company says you need to know the taste of of the things we sell. But then one time, in my heart, I had this question, should I bring some of these things home? These things I ought to give to the clients. And of course, these things are just small things, but if they keep adding up, it is a temptation. They add up as covetous things, as greed. And the Spirit said to me, do not take. So now I do not take. And I do pray for the anointing, the teaching of the anointing to be within me, to give me obedience so that I may have peace. And I do not lack this money at all. It's just a covetous heart. So I thank the reminder of the Holy Spirit. This is my sharing. Peace to you, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Tian Su in Seattle. As I heard the sister share earlier about this matter of habit, I also want to share something that happened this morning. I want to share quickly. Because of some situation, about 5:30 in the morning, I get up and I am busy with many things. So last night, about 11:30, as I went to bed, I thought about this, that I still need to get up an hour earlier. Otherwise, there's no time to read God's Word. As I thought about this, I went to sleep. And so in the morning, all of a sudden, I don't know why, I woke up and I jumped out of bed. When I jumped out of bed, it was exactly 4:30. And so I was so happy. In my heart, I was so full of joy. I said, okay, now, just like according to my schedule, I can read God's Word. Now, I've believed in the Lord for many years. I have had this habit of reading according to schedule. And so naturally, I was about to read according to schedule. But as I was about to read, I don't know why I stopped. There was this word that came to me recently regarding this matter of my heart. And so there was this thought, according to light, that I need to obey and search God's word. And so I needed to lay aside this matter of reading according to my schedule. Now I have this time. I need to go according to my sense. Then if I had to search the scripture, then it might take a lot more time. So I had a bit of a struggle according to my habit or according to what my sense was. So I thank the Lord. Yes, I still obeyed, following what the Lord had given to me, a lot of things regarding the heart, a lot of scripture regarding our heart. And then I began to realize that there were many things that I thought I knew, but it wasn't that way at all. So I really thank the Lord. I constantly need to learn how to be humble and soft before Him, to follow His leading. And so, yes, following a habit is good, but sometimes I need to change direction. This is my sharing. Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm also in Minneapolis. There's a small thing that I want to share. Recently, I wanted to change the service of my cell phone provider. And so I had this SIM card in me, and they would mail it to me. It also includes the service plan and all these things. I live in an apartment, and in this apartment, oftentimes there would be burglary. I don't know if it's whether it's other people in the apartment or from outward, other people who come in. And then there was this very thin FedEx bag, and so it was stolen. And so I thought, what should I do? I need to call the customer service. I needed to find them to see if they could give me a refund when I called. Before I called, I thought, should I tell them that my package was stolen? Because yes, there are times I've had things stolen before too. They said, well, our things have already been delivered. We can't give you a refund. And so at that time, I only had to suffer the loss. As I was thinking about this, I'm wondering if I should say this. So I prayed and I asked the Lord, I shouldn't have to suffer for this matter. I said to the Lord, can I just first not say anything? But if they ask me, then I will say it. And in my heart, if I had peace, then I did went ahead and I prayed. When I called, at first they were very kind. They didn't ask me much. But then right before the phone call concluded, they said, may we ask, why do you want to return this service? And immediately, I just thought about my prayer, and then now they asked. So quickly, I told them the truth. I said my things were stolen. And they were very good. And then they did refund me, so I thank the Lord. This is my small matter. Hello, everyone. I'm also a sister in Minneapolis. I also want to share about something 2 weeks ago, that something small that had happened. There's a sister who came to work for the first day, and she had to go to the company to get things. And she asked me that could she come pick me up at the end of work. And at first, I was very happy I could give my sister a ride. We set a time, and we already set it. In the afternoon, in my heart, the Lord asked me, you should ask that sister, how did she go to her work? And so I thought, well, my sister didn't ask me, so she must have prearranged, so I shouldn't have to ask her. And so I just thought that was good enough. And so when I went home, I told my roommate the same thing, that I came home with another sister. So they asked me, well, so how does she go to work? And I said, I don't know. She probably had already prearranged. So I got confused. So the next day, in my heart, the Lord reminded me very strongly and said, you need to ask that sister, how does she get to work? And so in my heart, I didn't really understand. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll just ask her. And so I connected with that sister and I asked her, how do you get to work? If you need a ride, I'll go pick you up. And that sister said, she was worried that I couldn't get up early enough and it's kind of far. And so she decided that she was going to take a bus. And so I really thanked the Lord that I needed to ask and then I could go to work and come back from work with my sister. Anyone else? Our brother wants to share it. At first, he didn't think that he would. But this is something I had just... And my brother Liu in Eastling. This just happened recently. A few days ago, there was this hymn in my heart. About 27 years ago, when I first believed in the Lord, a hymn that I had sang. And this is about the deer pants after water. I don't know why, but this hymn, little by little, came into my heart. And then yesterday morning, about 6 o'clock when I got up in the morning to get ready to go to work, I often would pray to the Lord. And at this time, it was a very clear voice. Give this hymn. Even though I remembered the words, I couldn't remember the melody. I had memorized it, but I haven't sang it for all these years, and I had forgotten it. I only knew the first few words, that as a deer pants after water, that I would thirst after him. So I looked it up on YouTube, and I started to play it so I could listen to it while I was driving. And I was singing along. I sang it twice. I was particularly moved. Oftentimes you might have this sense that a song that you sang many years ago, whether it's a hymn, when you sing it again, the Lord once again brings you back to that situation or that condition you were in many years ago. After I sang it twice, I received a message from my brother that said my mother had just passed away about 1 hour ago. And all of a sudden, I realized why the Lord wanted me to sing this song. Because my mother, about 22 years ago, when she came to the States, she believed in the Lord. She was about 70 at that time. And she really loved the Lord because she went back to China. And I was worried at that time, but she really loved the Lord. And she also attended all the prayer meetings and all the various meetings. Many years ago, she had started to develop dementia. And she only recognized my younger sister. And so when I got this call that she had just passed away 1 hour ago, all of a sudden I realized, and as I was looking at the lyrics of the song, that this was a prayer. And so I was truly moved that the Lord was telling me that when my mother left, even though she had left her physical body, but she left while singing this hymn. And so when I looked at it, yes, this was a wonderful hymn of prayer. And so the Holy Spirit was telling me that my mother has fully recovered her mind because she is in heaven. She is back to our Heavenly Father's home. I thank the Lord that the Lord used this to comfort me. Even though she is gone, she's in a better place. This is it. I also like to share a little bit. I'm Brother Andrew in Minneapolis. Outside of our church building, there's this trash can. Previously, It was for brothers and sisters to use. About a month ago, we realized that almost every morning during the weekday, he would throw things, even the dog poo. I don't know if he was driving his dog around, but he would always throw everything in there, and then he would drive away. So one day, my wife and I, we wanted to meet this person and tell him that this is not a park. And so one Wednesday, the two of us jumped in the car. We knew what time he would come, so we wanted to meet him. But as we were driving, as we got on the freeway, local, it would take 7 minutes. As soon as we got in the car, we started to fellowship. The closer we got to the freeway, the more we did not have peace. Can't you allow him to throw dog poo in there? If we deal with him kindly, then maybe one day we would come to know him. If he doesn't believe in the Lord, then maybe we can bring him to the Lord. So as we started to speed up, we had this feeling that we should not go. But we thought still that even if no one was there, we should tell him he should not throw. If there's a car there, then he would dare not come. So just as we are about to get on the freeway, we turned around and went home. Later, we realized that day he did not go. If we went, then we thought that we had scared him away, but he didn't even show up. So from that week on, he would only come once a week, not often, because we didn't want him to come often, but he would only come once a week to throw dog poo. So we thank the Lord for this opportunity to also serve our neighbor, to allow him to throw dog poo there. One day we hope we can come to know him and bring him to the Lord. Or if he's a Christian, we don't know. But these are small things in our daily life. We thank the Lord. Hello, everyone. I am from Rockville. A sister. This is also a small matter in my daily life. I have shared before, but I do want all brothers and sisters to hear. I still want to share again. About 2 weeks ago, there were several days I had heard some scripture that I need to be faithful in small things and in big things, because he desires righteousness in big and small things. And so I found that I asked the Lord, how should I be faithful in small things? Now, from the pandemic on, I've always been working at home now. And my hours are very flexible. Every day, as much as I'm able to do the things I need to do, that's good enough. And my boss doesn't really bother me much, and so my time is very flexible. But in my company, I'm the only one working at home. Everyone else has returned. They work from 9 to 5, but for myself, sometimes I start at 10, and I can finish at 6. But in this way, at 9, they're unable to find me. And so after I read this scripture, I thought, perhaps I should start work at 9 to be like everyone else as well. And so I thanked the Lord. After I decided that starting from Friday, that day, I was going to work those hours, because on Thursday I was on a holiday. And so Thursday night, a friend gave me a call and also mentioned that the place that he works also needs somebody like me. And the salary would be higher than my current job. And so I thanked the Lord. I didn't really have much hesitation, because I knew that my current job was given by the Lord. So I won't just lightly change jobs. So I declined that offer. And so on Friday, promptly at 9 o'clock, I began to work. After working for a little while, my boss came to ask me a question. And so I quickly responded. As soon as I responded, my boss gave me another message, says, from the following week, they were going to increase my salary. It was the same amount as what my friend had mentioned from the Thursday night phone call. So I really thank the Lord. I feel that God is a true and living God. When He works, He does not delay. If you have a little bit of heart towards Him, He will not deal badly with us. I thank the Lord. Okay, we will now conclude our sharing time. I do believe, brothers and sisters, your heart is pounding because you want to share, but perhaps you might not have the opportunity, but no worries, because in your local gathering, you can still share with brothers and sisters. We do encourage brothers and sisters not only to share here, but even more so in your local gathering, together with brothers and sisters, those that you interact with, to please share these experiences with everyone. Encourage all the other brothers and sisters together to rise up to learn this lesson, because this is so very important. Now, as we begin, we have heard, brothers and sisters, and we share with you that in this gathering, we have a purpose, we have a direction. We use the Apostle Paul's experience to encourage us that we want to be gained by the Lord even more. Now, brothers and sisters, how can we allow the Lord to gain more of us? In what way? And so, in following the teaching of the anointing, it is a very clear sign to show us that you have been gained by the Lord. In this experience, of course, there are differences in degrees. But if in very small details of your life you can learn, so that one day you sense that the leading of the anointing is more and more rich and more detailed, then it confirms that you have been gained more by the Lord. A lot of brothers and sisters shared all these small things, but don't look lightly on these small things. I have said before, because in these things in which we think are very small, but, and of course, yes, to the people of the world, it just seems like your moral actions. But in the eyes of the Lord, these are supernatural because these are the teachings of the Lord. So in these very small things, when we learn to obey the Lord, it is also the work of the Holy Spirit as He was working out the character of Christ, little by little, more and more into us. Because only the character of the Son of God is the character that God wants. This character far surpasses all the morality of humans. This is the work that the Lord wants to do in us today. After being saved, all the way till today, it has already been more than 60 years for myself. As I think back about my church life, we have gone through many places when we have seen many brothers and sisters. At that time, when I was young, I also saw many people who were very zealous. They really diligently read the Bible. It's all good. And they strive to share the gospel. And some had gifts and were very eloquent. But when I look back, I don't know where these people are anymore. I don't see them anymore. What does it show me? It proves that because you are zealous, you have been gained by the Lord. It's not because you have gifts you have been gained by the Lord. You can preach. You can also do good things. I also know. Forgive me for saying. I preach myself too. I have also seen many brothers and sisters who are very eloquent, who are very much able to share the gospel and preach. But do you sense that God has gained that person in a very limited way? But there's other brothers and sisters who are different. In my impression, I feel they have been truly gained by the Lord. Just like in Paul's days, he knows you can do all these outward things. It's good. But it doesn't mean that you have been gained by the Lord. If you haven't been gained by the Lord, then it doesn't matter what work you do outwardly. Paul has said, we share the gospel to others, but we ourselves have not gained the benefit of the gospel. Others are saved, but we have not gained the benefit of the gospel. It just means that you're eloquent. It just means you have spoken some moving words. It doesn't represent it. Do we discern this? This is very important. That is why I encourage brothers and sisters in your daily life, within the very smallest details, that we need to follow the Lord. Only in these things, when you follow the Lord, then can you gradually be gained by the Lord. So don't look lightly upon these very small matters of your daily life. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that as soon as we are saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He speaks and He is interested in your every matter, from your thoughts to your speech to your actions. He wants to be part of it. He wants to control it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is responsible for something very great. That is in Romans 8. To do what? To transform us, mold us into the image of His Son. This is what the Holy Spirit, His great work on earth today. Do you know how many saints there are in the world? But upon every single person, He wants to do this work. And He does this very careful, detailed work, not only for us to be saved, not only to be saved out of the world in a sin, but to be entirely transformed into the image of Christ. Many brothers and sisters over the many years know this word, but how much have you been transformed into His image? John, in his latter years, tells us we need to follow the teaching of the anointing. Only beneath the anointing can you have a true condition. And so for myself, it is the same. From my youth on, the Lord has led me and has given me a little bit of eloquence so that I can preach and share the gospel. But many times I sense gift is gift, but life is life. There's a very clear delineation between the two. And so I often tell the elderly, this week, my condition has been very poor, but when I come up to the pulpit, I have great release in what I can say. Even myself, I'm amazed. I say, Lord, how can this be? This past week, my life has been terrible, but when I come up, if I don't have anything to say, then that would be reasonable. But the older brothers tell me, your gift and the difference between your daily life is very different. Only in life, when you follow the Lord, you experience Him, then you can truly be gained by Him. If you just rely on the outward gifts, it's of no use. While it's not completely of no use, yes, maybe someone else may benefit, but we ourselves have not been benefited. Now we need to discern clearly between the two. A person who has truly been gained by the Lord, that is what is substantial. Then when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, we will know. Very quickly, it will be revealed whether or not the Lord has gained you. We don't have that much opportunity left, brothers and sisters. In our daily lives, we need to follow the teaching of the anointing so that we follow even closer, even more detailed and in more things. This is so precious. We hope, brothers and sisters, not only do we pursue it this way, but we also encourage others to pursue in this way, that we would share more testimonies like this. In this way, then we would have true benefit. And that when beneath the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you obey the teaching of the anointing, and it becomes more and more common and more careful, then you will attain to a place where your spirit is more and more alive. In Chinese, we often say, this person is very lively, very lively. This lively is not just alive outwardly, but your spirit within is lively and alive. As a Christian, you need to be alive. Many Christians, when they pray, you sense that their spirit is so alive. And when you fellowship with them, you would realize and you would sense it. When they do something, you can also sense it. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, our spirit needs to be alive and lively. In this generation and age, why is it that we feel it's so stuffy and dead? Why is it that the gathering of brothers and sisters, we feel that it's so flavorless? It's very simple. Our spirits are not alive. No wonder. If your spirit is not alive, we need all these outward activities to help. We have many activities. We jump and we dance. We have music to encourage people. Brothers and sisters, this is a very sad condition of the children of God. And so we find people come into the meetings, they have to raise their hands, they have to yell, they sing loudly. But then you come back to your daily life, everybody is just selfish, thinking about themselves. You haven't been gained by the Lord at all. In that moment, you have a little bit of behavior. Today, whether or not the church of God is alive has to do with whether or not our spirits are alive. If you cannot come to life, you cannot blame the church. You cannot blame the meetings. Who can help us then? So sometimes we do see that brothers, as soon as a small message comes in and it enlightens and gives us life in our spirit, then we say, we think it's good. But no, we cannot live just like that. We need this daily. Daily we need to follow the Lord. We need to be a saint that has a living spirit. This is very important. If in your daily life, within the spirit, you learn to follow the anointing, then the Lord, when he brings a great event, he can use you. Many brothers and sisters want to do great things for the Lord. But in your daily life, if you don't follow him in the small things, how can he entrust a great thing to you? If in your daily life you learn how to obey the teaching of the anointing, then brothers and sisters, in service, when you work for the Lord, then the Lord can easily entrust things to you. Let me give you two examples. We're all familiar with this. For example, Philip, the church in Jerusalem has selected seven elders, or seven. Let's not mention Stephen. He, of course, was very alive in spirit. But Philip, we all know his story, right? In Acts chapter 8, one day, the messenger of God sent him out to go towards the south. And then he met this eunuch from Ethiopia. He was sitting there by the road. And at this time, the Holy Spirit within Philip says, go towards that chariot and go look. And so Philip went. He went to the chariot. Brothers and sisters, think about this story. If a person in his daily life has not followed the teaching of the anointing, would such a thing, would such an event happen? Would such an event happen? Every day, we want the Holy Spirit to use us to do a great thing. But in your daily life, you don't even follow the Holy Spirit. How can he use you to do a great thing? That day when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, follow and go to that chariot, then it's impossible. How would this thing happen? Go towards the south. Go towards the wilderness. Would you do that? In the early church, these saints, each and every one of them lived within the anointing. If a person does not obey the anointing and you want to be used by the Lord, and in service you want to be used, it is impossible. And so we see Philip. in this action, allowed the Ethiopian eunuch to be saved, and he was baptized right there by the chariot. And after he came up, the Ethiopian eunuch went away with great joy. This was a very special experience. The Holy Spirit just snatched him away. So many Christians admire after this. And in your dreams, you dream about this type of event. Even myself, I've never experienced the Holy Spirit snatching me away, taking me away. But you don't need to admire after this. What you need to admire is that in your daily life, then we know that the gospel was preached to Africa. It was so far away. In God's work, this was a very important step. We're all familiar with the story. There's another story that is in also the book of Acts chapter 9. When Paul, when he encountered the Lord also sent another saint. His name was Ananias of Damascus. There, the Lord also spoke to Ananias. I really like this story. The Lord said, Ananias. Ananias immediately said, here I am, Lord. How wonderful. Brothers and sisters, have you ever been called by the Lord in this way? I remember when I was young. The Lord says, get up, go visit this person, and I would ignore the Lord. The Lord would say again, and I would ignore again. I would ignore for a long time. This is a lesson of following the anointing. Here, Ananias is so good. Don't think that the story is so simple. Behind it, it encompasses an experience that is very precious. It tells us that Ananias is one who lived within the teaching of the anointing. And the Bible also shows us that Ananias appeared only once, just this one time, but this one time was enough. So for you and I, brothers and sisters, to follow the teaching of the anointing, as long as there's one time you obey, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will record it down upon the book of remembrance. And one day, when you come before the judgment seat, it will be revealed. Here, it's not like I'm telling you a joke. No, brothers and sisters, this is true. Ananias, that day, the Lord says, go, get up. Go find this man who is praying. Ananias was afraid. That person is arresting Christians. How can I go? Otherwise, I'm going to be arrested. But the Lord spoke to him and says, he is the one whom I have chosen. Go. And we see how wonderful Ananias was in his obedience to the teaching of the anointing. He did not think about himself and he went. And there, he represented the acceptance of the church to Paul. Brothers and sisters, in history, these stories that are recorded down, we need to know that in their background, we know how much they have learned secretly in that had been hidden. So many things that we do not know. So I want to encourage brothers and sisters that we need to learn how to follow the teaching of the anointing. It is so important. Don't think that every day in your daily life, you're busy with this, busy with that. No, do not neglect the Holy Spirit within you as he leads you. This is the heavenly leading. This is God's work. This is an opportunity for us to truly be changed. May he continue to show us grace. Brothers and sisters, perhaps you have had many good testimonies you don't have an opportunity to share today, but if the Lord allows, the next time we still have a chance. We hope that you will grab a hold of these opportunities. And in your local gathering as well, do share it. And also here in this gathering, you can also have some open sharing. We hope that the Lord will give us grace. So in this matter of teaching of the anointing, in our Christian daily life, this is the most practical experience and true If you have had some very good experiences, then you are living a very substantial life before the Lord, a true life before Him. Okay? Now we still have some time remaining. We're going to go back to the book of Ephesians, and we will share with brothers and sisters. We want to have some fellowship regarding this matter of the mystery. Let's read a verse first. Let's open up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Let's read it together. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We know that Paul here in the book of Ephesians, towards the church in Ephesus, he requests prayer for him, to pray that he may speak with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Why does he need to speak with boldness? Because this is a matter in which it's difficult for people to understand. We need to be encouraged by the Lord so that we can open up our mouths to speak. I say again, in Colossians and Ephesians, in these two books, it opens up to us the mystery of God. These two books, Paul in Colossians, also requests prayer, so that in Ephesians, he also requests the same thing. In this prayer, it is for Paul, so that he may be able to speak the mystery from within his heart. I often have told brothers and sisters, when we read Colossians and Ephesians, we need to have this understanding and this thought that Paul here, he's speaking of the mystery. I have already told brothers and sisters, why is it that Paul is speaking of the mystery? Because mystery, now that the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, because in our natural understanding, we cannot understand it. So that is why Paul uses this word, mystery. Now we know that Paul, on the road to Damascus, when that moment he encountered the Lord opened up the eyes of his heart. So that from the previous Judaism, the legalism, and man's way of thinking, he had been saved out of all of that. On that day, his eyes were opened so that he could understand the heart of God. That day, he fully understood that great mystery that God had created in all the universe. From that day on, Paul's condition had a great change. So we can say, brothers and sisters, from that day on, when Paul looked at God's work and the church and the experiences of God's children, it was from the perspective of God's mystery. He now had completely given up his earthly opportunities, his earthly perspectives. And brothers and sisters, today, now as we go back and look and read Colossians and Ephesians, we also need to have the perspective of the mystery. Otherwise, when you use your natural human perspective, you would see Christianity. Only when you have the perspective of the mystery, then can you truly understand what is the church. Now, as we look at 2,000 years worth of church history, because man cannot understand Paul's experience, In the end, all the way till today, the majority of people will use their natural perspective, human perspective, to look at the church, resulting in their understanding that the church is not much. They look lightly upon the church. From just the letter of the law, church doesn't look like much, but from the perspective of the mystery now, we cannot fully understand without the help of the Holy Spirit. And now, your sense of the church is different. Brothers and sisters, yes, we live in the flesh. And in our body, yes, all these small things can be very practical. We need to do it well. But if you have a different perspective, even though you and Paul, you're both doing the same thing, and yet it's very different. The purpose now is completely different, because when he sees it from the perspective of the mystery. We see it, and we look at things from the earthly perspective, from the natural perspective. This is so important. Today, the church on earth, there's a great deviation. The life of the children of God is so earthly. We lack this heavenly perspective. So today we say we need to have the spiritual perspective. That is what we say often. What is spiritual perspective? Spiritual perspective is the perspective of the mystery. It is the perspective of the mystery. In the early church, we also see many children of God had this perspective, just like Paul. So Paul, in Colossians chapter 4, chapter 18, he also says, we are mindful of the things that are unseen. The things that we see is but temporary. The unseen is the eternal. It is now a very different perspective. When I see brothers and sisters in their daily life, particularly these days in America, we have such an earthly perspective. Everyone are arguing about these earthly things. In my heart, I'm so sad, because we lack the heavenly, spiritual perspective. We lack that perspective of the mystery. And we're constantly arguing about the things of earth to such a point that there is so much argument that there's no end to it. How we need his mercy. Today, if your perspective of the church, it will be determined by the perspective that you have within you. It will show the condition that you have. In these days, I do think about this. I all of a sudden remembered how when I was young, I was in high school and college, roughly around that time, I read this one book. This book also had an impact on my perspective, the earthly human perspective among those who are educated. Yes, it is also different. I don't know about you if you've read this book. How to enter into these different doors. We know that Einstein, we felt that his writing is so deep, it's difficult for us to understand, particularly my contemporaries. Very few people in this world could understand it. How could we? But I was curious. It was for these people who had been educated to read. I also got that book. I was really happy. I wanted to read it. Something about the dual universe or two doors. And this book talked about how some physicists and geophysicists, their perspective of this universe is also different. It really attracted me at that time. And so as I think back, I find it very interesting I do want to tell you a little bit about it. Now, man, when they have a particular understanding, they have a different perspective. That book, at the very beginning, use some words from Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. There, what does it tell us? That today, that which we have seen was not made out of things which are visible. This word here, 2,000 some years ago, the apostle have written this down. Now, 2,000 years after, now science confirms it. So we know for modernists, what are the things that are physical? Have been made out of things which are... Now, for those of you who are scientists, I apologize. Today, we know that the physical is made out of the invisible. We know it is made out of God's word. God's word is power. We know from God's word that not one word of God is spoken without power. We know that God's word has now made the invisible into that which is visible. This is a great mystery. How amazing. 2,000 years later, now science confirms it, confirms God's word. The apostle at that time wrote it so naturally. Of course, we don't know whether or not they understand science, that the things that which you see are not made out of things which are visible. Additionally, in that book, I also saw there was this description. It was very interesting. I'm just going to say it very simply. For example, I see there's a person here. But among the scientists, they say, no. What I see is a pile of carbon. If you have this scientific background, you see atoms and carbon. Because yes, outwardly speaking, that's what we are made of. We are composed out of all these atoms. And we say, oh, this person is good looking. That person is not good looking. And the scientist will say, well, because the arrangement of the atoms are different. The arrangement of their particles are also different. Even if I don't explain it, you also understand this, right? It's because there's simply a difference. Because the arrangement is different. Forgive me, for the older brothers and sisters, you could just listen to this and that's good enough. Today, you say, you see me behind me. Brother Sun's background, your wall is red color. But the scientist would say, no, that's not much. It's because the spectrum, the wavelengths are now just different. So now that's what you perceive. You perceive the red color. But now the wavelength, if the spectrum of the wavelengths now is different, it's if the wavelength of a yellow, then it's different. It's just a difference of that wavelength. Today I listen to this music. It's so beautiful. But the scientists would say, oh, it's because physically speaking, the spectrum of the audio waves are also different. And then you have music. And so at that time when I read this book, I realized, oh, even among the people who have a scientific mind, this world that they live in, their perspective of this physical realm is also different. This is the condition and the environment that they see. And of course, brothers and sisters, of course, when I read it at that time, I had believed in the Lord. I just said, oh, it's just sad that you just see there's a difference in the arrangement of the atoms and particles. You don't see life. You can't see the soul and the spirit. So it's not just this physical world that we see. But of course, here, what I'm trying to tell you is that this is a matter of perspective. Today, what kind of perspective do we use? What kind of perspective do you look at the Christian spiritual life? Today, if you walk in the wrong direction and you go among Christian circles, the majority of people are still looking at the physical perspective, using the natural mind to look at situations. And so today, our perspective towards church life and the purpose and meaning of how the Lord is building His church, our response is very, very dull and shallow. We're different from Paul. Paul says, I see the mystery. Brothers and sisters, the church is God's work. We have already said it last time in Ephesians chapter 1. The Father, Son, and Spirit are using everything they have to gain something. When we use our eyes, we see the building. We see our local gathering. Can we compare it with what is spoken of in Ephesians 1? Among the children of God, for those who have true spiritual perspective, it's very different. I hope that among us, I hope, brothers and sisters, among us, that the Spirit of God would open up our eyes, allow us to see what Paul sees. Then the church will have hope. If it's just this and that or outward activities, and we argue among this and that, it's just outward things, then brothers and sisters, then the church condition will have no hope. Then in such a condition, gradually you will find that brothers and sisters will grow tired. They're not interested in it anymore. Why do we have such a sign? The Lord at that time, He wasn't interested in doing this at all. That is why today we need to have a spiritual perspective. In church history, we see because of the limitation of man's perspective, no one has been paying attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. That is why the church has a great deviation. The sign of deviation is so severe. In church history, we see that there were several ages of recovery, particularly 300 some years ago during the church, the Brethren movement. God's Spirit has done something different. We know that there was a great revival and reformation in America and in England, for example. In 1904, 1907, the Wales Reform, as well as in Korea. God was able to change the condition of man. But within that revival, we did not see much work of recovery. The recovery has to be of a spiritual perspective to see the mystery of God. Brothers and sisters, once you have the perspective of the mystery, then we see that the church condition will be different. And then in following the Lord, we will not make mistakes. Today, as we follow the Lord, our mistakes are so grave, so severe. We just see the small, tiny things. Forgive me for saying. Let me just give you something very practical in experience. In the 1960s, 1959, in the Far East, there was a great change in the church. Because of Brother T. Austin Sparks at that time. God used Brother T. Austin Sparks to come to our area, our location. And forgive me for saying, I'm not elevating our brother. We're not following him. But at that time, yes, he was of great help to many brothers. He brought great help to many brothers. Our brother at that time, he had spiritual perspective. And he was also one who truly understood the mystery of God. For us at that time in our gathering, we had a very lively, wonderful condition. And even in our gatherings, I was very proud of our gathering. When I gathered and when I went to the meetings, I felt that, yes, this was the best meeting. You couldn't find any other meeting that was like this. In front of us, we had such spiritual people. And within us, we had great spiritual light. And in our work, his work and his word was spoken in such a wonderful way. When I attended the gospel crew, we would call out with great excitement, and great crowds of people were saved. Great crowds of people were baptized. There was great life, and the church was growing. So from my youth, I had this sense, after I was saved, later, this is a place where I'm going to grow and live and die. All of my future, my hope and destiny is here. Because we're going to grow here. Perhaps my feeling was the same as Paul. Of course, I wasn't as smart, as intelligent, or as full as Paul, but my thought was about the same. Because I was so proud of that congregation. There's no other church on earth as good as this. That we are a strong fortress. Nobody could shake us. Who, in truth, can debate with us? In work, who can be compared with us? Who is more zealous than us? He could not be compared with us. The zeal and the heart was great. At that time, nobody cared about anything else. And yes, it was a very good sign at that time. I don't see much of that today. I said, Lord, the testimony you have established here is something that's unshakable. Without realizing, the Lord brought the servant of God from England to the Far East. He brought the mystery of God, the light of revelation to us. Such a great gathering and such a strong congregation here, we were shaken. We were shaken. Brothers and sisters, today as we look back, I'm very clear. It is because God is not satisfied with the outward work. If today the church on earth cannot be built upon God's will, it will be broken down. Today, do you know that we were so proud to such a point to say that we are God's house. Everything outside of this is not. Do you understand this meaning? That all of those other things are but small shacks that do not belong to God's will. They don't count. But to such a point that we were shaken. So, brothers and sisters, God is God. God is not man. You may sense it is very good, but if you are not according to God's will, God will not think that it is good. So today, as I share with brothers and sisters, I hope that we may have spiritual perspective and understand God's mystery. I don't want you to go and condemn others. Or to elevate yourself. No, brothers and sisters, we acknowledge that our condition is very far away from what God wants. But no matter what, you need to have such a perspective. Otherwise, we will walk the wrong path. We need to avoid walking the wrong path. This is a difficult thing, brothers and sisters. So Paul, he says, I am in bondage and chains. I have gone through so much suffering because God has entrusted this to me. It is so difficult in this fallen world today to preach such a message. It is very difficult. but it is what God wants. Today it is so amazing. All Christians have a Bible in their hands. We all have the book of Ephesians and Colossians, right? Many people are reading it, but they cannot read and understand this. We read Colossians, we read Ephesians. We pay attention to the outward things of the church that Paul speaks of. But Paul is talking about the inward things. He says, don't misunderstand me. I'm speaking of the mystery. We talk about our outward living, our behavior, the method. But Paul says, no, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about God's mystery. So please pray for me so that I may speak with boldness the mystery of Christ. Today, the children of God neglect that. That is why Paul is speaking loudly here. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, he knows that this is not just his calling, but it is his exhortation. He prays. He kneels down before God to pray. That is why there are two important prayers in the book of Ephesians. One, he's praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Later on, we're going to go into it. But for your inner man to be strengthened, this is what Paul is praying for. Brothers and sisters, without the Holy Spirit, without his revelation within us, it is too difficult. However, if the Holy Spirit reveals this within you, it is not difficult. I still remember Brother Tiasen Sparks in Taiwan, when he had the special meetings, because the messages that he brought, brothers and sisters felt it was so fresh, it is so different from what other brothers have spoken, it is so deep. And so during the question and answer times, I remember an older brother said, you speak of this revelation, we really admire after it, how can we gain revelation? How can we gain revelation? In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said very clearly, we pray that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may he give to us, it tells us, revelation, and also in Galatians chapter 1, it is the Father is willing to reveal it to us. It is our Heavenly Father. He is the one who does the work of revelation through the Holy Spirit. So if you want revelation, come before the Father. Pray to the Father. Ask the Father through the Holy Spirit would do this work so that the eyes of our hearts may be opened. To have the eyes of our hearts opened, I really thank the Lord. I say, for such a common person like me, a small brother like me, God allowed me to have such an experience. I am able to experience it. It is truly a wonderful experience. In 1965, the Lord did this work in me. I realized that within me, I have eyes in my heart. And my eyes can open. It is really amazing. This is a mystery. To the people, to Gentiles, to those outside, they don't know. They think it's something very supernatural. But to us, no, it's not. Yes, the Father is willing to open up the eyes of our hearts. So pray. Paul prayed for us. When your eyes are opened, you see it. It is incredible. The church that God has established is such a matter. Some say that Paul in Ephesians, in the Greek, using the most high vocabulary words, he have used it all. Even though he's used it all, it's still not possible. To enlighten the eyes of your heart so that you may truly know the glory. According to, that means you have no other words to use. According to. It's great to such a way, according to such greatness lavished on us. You have no other words to use. You've run out of words. Now, Paul, he has not exaggerated in any way. When you see the universe that God has created, do you see how incredible it is? With man's language, you cannot describe all of what is in God's heart. And so God used these apostles to write these epistles. It brings us back to the revelation of the Spirit so that you may truly understand and know His revelation. So I hope, brothers and sisters, you may receive grace, hear His words. Because generally, when we speak on Sundays on the pulpit, we cannot speak of all these things. This is a special pursuit meeting, so I'm willing to share the burden within my heart as much as I am able to all that I'm, even to which I am able is not much, but I hope it can be of help to you. Dear brothers and sisters, how we desire the Lord to do that work in us. Forever I will thank my Lord if He has done a little bit of work of revelation within us. Today, brothers and sisters, perhaps we are still using our natural mind and understanding to read the Bible. With your natural mind, each one of us, we are different as well. For those of you who are more intelligent, you might be able to speak a little bit more. But for those of us who are not as intelligent, it's very bitter, difficult to read God's word. Do you find it's full of suffering when you don't understand? And brothers, encourage you to read God's word. No matter how the brothers described it to us, that God's word is so abundant and so sweet, I couldn't sense any of it. Every time I read God's word, I did not sense any sweetness. Brothers and sisters, when you read it, do you taste sweetness? But in 1965, there was a great change in me. When I touched God's word, I felt it was so wonderful. God's words was open to me to such a point where I didn't know what realm I was in. Of course, in my mind, there were some things that had happened there, and I came to know. Brothers and sisters, yes, there are different degrees and levels of differences, but to me, there was great satisfaction from within me. Some brothers and sisters, they really diligently pursue after the Lord. They said, I want to love the Lord Jesus. Every day I pray there, I sing songs, I experience. But then later I realized it cannot be compared with what the Holy Spirit does within us in opening us up. When the Holy Spirit opens up God's word, when you see the meaning of Christ, that joy was true joy, that satisfaction and contentment. And that became a great light of understanding within us. Today, as we follow the Lord in such a complicated environment, all of Christianity is great. There's so much complications. There's so many things that influence us. Like for us who are so small in this environment, how can we be set free from such an environment? We thank the Lord. The Lord has mercy. Now, of course, I hope the Lord will help me to walk to the very end. In these decades, there have been so many temptations and snares. You don't have to look for temptations. They will come into your house. Brothers and sisters, in such a time of influence and methods and teachings, so many things are attracting us. Where is the truth? Many times, children of God will become confused. You follow that person. You follow that work. You follow this thing. But we thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, as long as the eyes of your spirit are open and you understand the mystery of Christ, then you will only follow Christ. In this word, we're all familiar with it, but it needs to be tested. We see many people will walk away. Don't look lightly upon these things. These outward things, these things that the enemy is raising up, these things that are wrong, are so attractive. They're greatly attractive and can persuade you. It's not that I haven't been moved. When that condition comes, yes, it really moves your heart. Your heart may be moved, but within your spirit there is a strength. Yes, there have been many children of God who really love the Lord. They have such wonderful conditions before the Lord. And when my steps wanted to follow in that way, but there was a strength within me that would lead me. Dear brothers and sisters, it's so easy for you and I to make mistakes. Yes, I know, it's so easy for me to make mistakes. But here, I know I have nothing to boast in. Just like Paul, I can only boast in my weaknesses. The Lord has protected us all the way until today in this path. People ask, how do you know you're on God's way and not on some other way? We need to have God's word to give us discernment. It's not that we're just having some emotional response. No. The Lord has given us a little bit of assurance. What the Bible has revealed is God's way. This is what we walk on. This is our attitude. But it doesn't represent that on this way, that we are very certain that we have no problems. No, brothers and sisters, there will be many more tests and temptations. Just like the hymn we sang, before the Lord returns, we will go through testing. We don't know what that testing holds. But there is one thing. If the eyes of your heart are opened and you see the mystery of God, this is a protection and a strength. So that in this great confusion, you will be able to move forward. I do realize as Christians, particularly in this age, the things that influence us are actually very shallow. A small thing will really greatly disturb us. Don't talk about the great matters. Just 300 years later, when the brothers were fighting this warfare of truth, today what we are battling are just the battles of the lusts and passions of the flesh. It is of no value. Do you see how weak we are, how pathetic we are? How can we speak a testimony? We look to the Lord. Let me just tell you the things in my heart. Because today, the age that we live in, it is a very particular, special time. On one hand, there is great vanity and confusion, yet we are getting closer to the glory of God. We are in the age that is closest to the glory of God. The kingdom is right in front of us. Can we hold fast to the very end? It is a great test to us. May your eyes, may you have spiritual perspective. Do not use your natural eyes to look at the things of this world. Be set free from it. If you fall into that perspective and you are walking in that way, it will waste your time. You will lose out on good opportunities. How we need the Lord to give us grace. Only once you have the perspective of the mystery, then you will not make mistakes. Today, the Father is so willing to reveal Christ to us. So when the brothers rose up to ask this question, Brother Chiasa Spark says, this is something the Father is so willing. Do you know what willing is? It is His pleasure. This is the greatest pleasure of the heart of the Father. Just like many brothers and sisters, young ones, once you have children, you treasure them so much. What you like to show off is your children. When relatives and friends come, you want to show them your children. When they praise your children, oh, your children grow so well. They're so healthy. Oh, you are so happy. The same with our Heavenly Father. How He rejoices to show His Son to you. If it's something that gives him great pleasure, then it's easy for you to gain, right? If the father is unwilling, then you have no way, right? But the father is so willing to give you and show you his son. Come before the father. Father, father, thank you because you are willing to show me your son. And then you will realize that this is something that is so precious, so wonderful. So today in the book of Ephesians, Paul has revelation. He has vision in seeing the mystery of God. And with this perspective of the mystery, he sees the church. He sees Christians. He sees a Christian experience as well as a Christian life, daily life. We thank the Lord from the very first century, God had gained such a precious vessel to write down such a precious book. So Paul did not explain, he just wrote according to the Spirit. But every single phrase, even with these many words, it encompasses very deep meanings. Paul did not explain them. But in this matter, he has entrusted this matter to the Spirit. Today, it is the Holy Spirit who is responsible to explain the book of Ephesians to us so that we may understand the mystery of God. So today, it is not just with your head knowledge that you can read these words. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal and to open up this to us. So last time, we have already spoken very simply. For God to establish the body of Christ, Ephesians has now given to us the character, the person of God to us. This is a great and incredible mystery for us to know that when God created this universe, created this world, when he created you and I, now we can understand why we exist. The people, the most intelligent people of this world cannot figure out why is there you and me? Why do we exist? Because God has a mystery that he wants to reveal. He wants to build up the mystery, the body of Christ, with such simple words. He wants to reveal this great mystery. Today, the world, we stop at such a shallow point of the gospel. We are sinners. We are saved by him. He has cleansed up our sins, given us eternal life. One day we can enter to heaven. Brothers and sisters, this is the most shallow thinking. Yes, it is true, but it is too shallow. From here on out, what do we know about church life? We think it just means we take our Bibles and go to church. We sit in church, we listen, we sing some hymns, we hear a person preach, we donate some money. This is church life, is that it? Brothers and sisters, this lacks the inward seeing. Today, you and I, it is so difficult to have this perspective of church. This is something that God is using all his strength to do. He has paid such a huge price. The Holy Spirit is doing all that he can to do this work, to build up the body of Christ. Today, Paul, for us to have our eyes open, he prays. He knows it is so important. If our eyes are not open, brothers and sisters, then there is no hope. You do this, you do that. It's just an outward work. Now, Paul, because he has obtained this revelation, he wrote down Ephesians and Colossians. Now, in order for Paul to express this, he used language to write this down. Now, within it, the vocabulary words that he used, every single word is very, very particular. Now, language is just a way to express what Paul had seen. Just like when you write a dissertation. When you write a dissertation, the thesis that you write, because you have had an experiment, you want to express the results. You need to use vocabulary and terminology. You need to be very careful in the choosing of your words. When Paul wrote Colossians, he was very careful in every single word and term that he used. In such a way, when you read the book of Ephesians and Colossians, there is another way you can read it. You need to take apart the words. You need to have a word study. Don't just read through it quickly. Why did Paul choose this word? What does this word mean? Because Paul did not explain it. He just used the word. But in that word, it expresses what he sees. And so from these words, you need to see what Paul sees. Of course, we might not see the complete thing of what Paul saw, but we need to have the seeing. And so very simply, let me pick a few words to explain what I mean. Because I cannot go into it more. I already told you that in Ephesians, I would have to use more than 10, 15, 20 messages to share on Book of Ephesians, word for word. Yes, it did help me, but today, some important words that Paul uses, you need to know them. Let's take a look at them. Let me give you a few examples. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, I'm running out of time. Just one word today. Ephesians 1:10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. There are two words here. Two words that we need to pay attention to. An administration. In church history, many brothers, when they read this word, they took a lot of time to analyze these terms, these words. I have told you before, when I was young, I wanted to understand more clearly these words. So I used the interlinear, the Greek interlinear, as well as the lexicon, the Bible lexicon, and I realized it was incredible. The effort that the brothers in the past have used this word, for example, this word, yes, it appears in the Bible. It's very simple. But as soon as you go into the Bible lexicon, there's three pages used to try to explain this one word. Within these three words, the font was incredibly small to explain this one word. To try to explain the words within the big words. To try to understand these words, I had to try to understand it. It took me several days. My English wasn't that good at that time. Even the small definition, we see how much time the brothers have spent to try to analyze these words. So we see Paul at that time, when he wrote Ephesians, he used these few words. It was so particular because he wanted to explain and express the heart of God and the mystery of God. Today, I feel that we really fall short of the Lord. We have taken these spiritual things and we've looked at it so lightly. The matters of the church, we have taken it so lightly. If you have Paul's understanding, you will be like Paul. You would go crazy. You go insane as you follow the Lord. May the Lord show us mercy. Hear this word administration. In the original Greek, or you could put it simply, it is God's government, His administration. The entire universe of God, it's not your administration. A lot of people today, they're trying to administer to this church. It is not your matter. It is God's work. God is the one who's administrating His own work. For you, in your business, you are doing business. You want to increase your business. God is doing this in His business. So brothers and sisters, if this is a business, then this is God's business. Today, we can only follow according to His leading. So not one person can be proud. So this is a huge business. You could say it's also God's government, as well as administration. It is God's government and administration. So we need to pay close attention to these words. The older brothers in the past have also told us, God's government is something that you cannot offend. In your own daily life, you have weaknesses. God will have great mercy for you. However, if you touch God's government, God's administration, His government, God will never show any extra emotion or mercy. Yes. Many children of God in the past, God has great mercy. But then, because it doesn't matter how huge your church is, if you offend God's administration, if He will leave you aside, this is something that many brothers are very, very clear about. Doesn't matter how large your work is, how successful you are, God doesn't care about the greatness of the work on earth. The Israelites, when they worshipped idols, to such a point where all Israel, they were taken captive. It doesn't matter how precious the temple is, but as soon as you go against God's work, He will allow it to be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, we know in God's government, in His administration, in church service, all responsible brothers, all of those who love the Lord, all need to pay very close attention to this. This is something that you cannot absolutely offend and sin against. This has to do with God's administration. In this administration, it also has to do with generation. It encompasses the meaning of generation. That means God has His own plan. God has His own order. So today when you follow the Lord, brothers and sisters, it's not what you imagine. Many people think it's like a religious activity. They're just very casual with it. No. If you are like Paul and you understand God's work, you cannot be careless. So we know that generation after generation, God is doing His work. God wants to accomplish it until a point when everything is summed up and the New Jerusalem will appear. Brothers and sisters, today, God is in this generation doing this work. We need to know our time. We need to know in this generation how to follow Him. So today, in God's creation of the universe and of mankind, He has His purpose and meaning in building up His church. It is the same. He has His same purpose. May He show us mercy. Now time has come. I cannot continue on. If the Lord allows, then next time we will continue. In Ephesians, according to what I am able to share with brothers and sisters, and you also read it carefully, what words, what terms, vocabulary words are important, pick them out. And study it and read it carefully. May the Holy Spirit open up our eyes so that we may understand, so that we may know his heart. Today, our meeting must conclude here. Let's have 2 to 3 brothers and sisters lead us according to the leading of the Spirit. If he leads you, do not quench his moving and lead us in a simple prayer. Dear Abba Father, we thank and praise you. Thank you through our brothers and sisters' testimonies to show us how in every small, tiny detail of our lives to follow you. Lord, we thank and praise you that through your faithful servant, through the leading of your servant to show us your word, through the Holy Spirit, may we look lightly upon this world, not have our natural minds to look at things, that we may choose a better part. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. Thank you for loving us to the very end. We give you all glory and praise to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for once again speaking to us in this age. Thank you for your great mercy upon us. We do feel that we live like lukewarm water, but Lord, do increase our spiritual love and desire. Open up our spiritual eyes. Give us spiritual perspective so that we would not be a foolish person, so that we may desire to know and love your will. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, do give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would not just merely understand with our head, but Lord, may our hearts be captured so that we may truly know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, our hearts are open towards you and not hidden. May we have true faith. Hear our prayer from within us. Do give us your revelation so that we may understand, so that we may know how to walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, our meeting will conclude here. Let me do mention our time for next time. It will be April 30th. Our next meeting will be April 30th. And we're going to ask brothers and sisters to memorize the last chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6, Ephesians 6, on April 30th. Okay, so our meeting concludes here. May the Lord protect and watch over everyone. May you be at peace. Goodbye, everyone.